Welcome to the Married with Channels podcast. I'm Moose.
I'm Jody.
We're married. We have kids. We watch TV. Okay, let's get right to it. Game of Thrones episode 5. We're one away from the series finale.
Ooh.
This is the one with the Dunkin' Donuts coffee. You didn't see it?
No.
Oh my God, it's embarrassing. Last week it was Starbucks? No. Now this is one where they blow up King's Landing.
Yes.
And let's start from the top.
Yeah.
They killed Lord Varys.
Okay, I have a question about that.
Yeah?
Who was he writing the secret to, do we know?
That's and a good question.
And did he actually get it on a raven, or did he really burn it like we saw?
So the first time we saw him, remember the little girl came in?
Yes.
He was writing, and we saw the words. They started with on the show with a close-up of what he was writing, and it was like, is the true heir to the Iron Throne. And
Yep. That's
all you could see. So you presume he's writing a letter to somebody, letting them know that Jon Snow, he's the actual true heir to the throne.
Right.
Don't mind this Daenerys Targaryen breaker of chains bullshit.
Right.
So who that's going to, I don't know. I think that one got out. Now, Yeah. When they came and arrested him, he was, I think he was writing a separate thing.
Hmm.
And we never saw what he was writing there.
No.
Now, maybe he was finishing that letter that he was writing that we saw earlier that said John was the heir to the throne. I don't know. Who could he be writing that to? Maybe, maybe it was a last-ditch effort to get Cersei to back down. You know, maybe it was to Cersei or maybe it was to Yara Greyjoy, Iron Islands? I don't know.
Hmm.
Or somebody like in the Dorne, you know, in Dorne?
Yeah.
There's other populations out there. There's people who aren't fighting.
Sure.
For the throne.
Sure.
Dorne comes to mind. Shit, even like maybe the wildlings up north. I don't know.
Yeah. There are other people. There are people that Dany has freed that she now rules over too. Like maybe he's trying to get her own.
Oh right, that'd be a good idea.
Civilizations to kind of turn against her. Like, hey, I know that she freed you from life of slavery, but
like
here's the deal.
Yeah, like the people in Marine.
Yeah,
and wherever else she freed.
Yep.
So yeah, so she gets Dragon to roast Varys.
Yeah,
and So Lord Varys is gone.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. I always thought he was one of those guys. He reminded me of like a Peter Baelish Jr.
Sure.
A Littlefinger Jr.
Yeah.
Like kind of conniving, maybe up to no good, but
like he always found a way to align himself with the right people at the right time and just kind of squeak through life that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's not necessarily the guy in your office who's trying to take your job. He's the guy that knows how to keep his job.
Yeah, he likes to be on the winning team.
Yeah. But he genuinely seemed to care about, Daenerys not fucking up everybody innocent in King's Landing. Like that last moment where he said, I hope I'm wrong.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
I don't know why you'd say that if you were a selfish prick who didn't care.
Sure.
As you're about to die.
Well, and he had another line too. Like, he has served under and known more kings and queens than any man alive, you know?
Yeah.
Which is interesting because, you know, he's seen the best and the worst and kind of everything in between, everything that's happened thus far, you know? And
yeah.
And it's almost like he's kind of softened a little bit now, like, okay, I've seen all these kings and queens be ruthless and killing machines, and now I am going to stand up for humanity and the greater good of people. And maybe fighting the Night King did that to some people, but I don't think Dany got that message.
No. She, I don't know. She's something else. We'll get to her.
Sure.
In a little bit.
Yeah.
I was a little, looking back at the moment while I was watching, I can't say that I was surprised, but I am now that she roasted Varys and didn't roast Tyrion.
I know.
He's just been slinging bad advice to her left and right.
Well, and she keeps saying, like, you keep messing up, you're done. You know, you're dead to me.
Yeah, but she said that before.
Yeah, there's no follow through there. So, yeah.
So just yeah. like a, just like our 7-year-old, you don't follow through, she's going to keep shitting all over you.
Yep.
In their 7-year-old type of ways, slash Tyrion sort of ways.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so where are we at? We kill Varys.
Yeah.
Excuse me. And it's essentially just move on to King's Landing.
Yeah.
Where, my God, what happened between that last episode and this episode that Dany figured out how to attack with a dragon?
Yeah, this time went a lot better for her and her dragon. And it looked like she took the same approach, though, just maybe a little more stealthy with the cloud cover. But she still came at it like she was playing chicken. You know, you had the thought last week or last time, like, go around the back side and fire him up. And she kind of did that a little bit more this time.
Well, this time it seemed like she took the tactic of making them look into the sun, coming with the sun behind you so they can't see you too well.
Sure.
I mean, I guess that kind of makes sense. You still have a pretty good chance of hitting a dragon if you just aim for the sun, theoretically. But look, it worked out. I mean, there weren't as many logic flubs in this episode as there was it the last episode where she lost another dragon?
Yeah. I know. Oh, yeah. There was some logic flubs there, but I have some later on in the episode that we'll get to.
Yeah, but the I mean, last week still drives me nuts. Like, why is it you can't see ships, but they could see you?
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to relitigate that discussion.
Sure.
That logic faux pas.
Well, and I was getting mad last time because it's like, just throw your fire. Like, why are you waiting so long to light up the fleet here? Like, she just played chicken with them. And I don't know, maybe it was more of like an intimidation thing. Like, maybe they'll back down. They're surely going to back down from my dragon. Maybe there's a little bit of arrogance there on her part.
Maybe. I think so. And maybe she's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
She does come from the Mad King. Not too much of a stretch to say the daughter of the Mad King could be the Mad Queen. But anyway, last week again.
Sure.
I read something this week about how they go up to King's Landing and there's Cersei with all her archers and the crossbows. And you have easily 4 people that you could wipe out and deliver a huge blow to the opposition. Cersei had paid Bronn to go kill Tyrion and he's sitting right there.
Uh-huh.
Why don't you kill them?
I guess I didn't think about that, but
anyway, that's just another stupid moment from last week's. Another reason why this season Game of Thrones is not good. And I'm sad that it's moving on in this direction and it's coming to this conclusion. I'm getting really, not scared, but really concerned about how this is all going to end. I think it's going to end kind of in a Sopranos way, not literally.
Oh, it better not.
Not literally like that. I think a lot of people learn from that. Let me qualify this by saying that I've heard that it's really hard to end a series. It's hard to write a series finale.
Sure.
So like I'll give them that.
They're not going to tie up all the loose ends and give it to you in a nice packaged box. Like, there's going to be some left to interpretation and discussion. And
that's a possibility.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't be surprised if they do tie it up, but it's like, wait, what? Grey Worms? On the Iron Throne? What? You know.
Just kind of something off the wall, not expected, huh?
And we're getting a little broad strokey here, but I do think D&D, you know, David Benioff and D.B. David Weiss, whatever, the main guys who run the show, ever since they've run out of the source material from George R.R. Martin's books, it's not been that great of a show. I mean, it's been fine. You know, it's Game of Thrones. All the usual suspects are there. But as far as, like, plotting, cadence, pace, it's just not the same.
You know, maybe that would be more apparent after the end is revealed to itself, you know?
Maybe I'll be proven wrong and or, you know, leave with a smile on my face.
Sure.
But
you're not hopeful about that.
I'm not. I'm really not. Based on what we had last season, which was a little rushed. This season is just flat out fucking balls to the wall.
Yeah.
We're skipping a lot of logic. We're missing a lot of parts. Why they're only doing 6 episodes, a theory I heard from Ryan, my coworker today, is that they can't afford. The contracts are up on the actors.
Uh-huh.
The main actor's already getting $500,000 an episode.
Sure.
So, you know, do the math on that. It's already a super expensive show. I get that, but it's easily the biggest show, easily in the top 3 biggest shows over the last 10 years.
Ooh, what are we going to do on this podcast when it's over? We won't have much to talk about. No, I'm just kidding. There are plenty of other shows.
Big Bang Theory, motherfucker.
Oh, no. No, I won't be watching that one. Sorry.
So back to this episode.
Yes.
So they start, I mean, Daenerys is just laying, it's looking like, all right, cool. All right, you just essentially killed the fleet. And, oh, look at that. You wiped out pretty much all the Golden Company. And then it's like the bells ring, which is the surrender. And then it's like, okay.
What's she going to do?
What are you doing?
Yeah.
Why are you flying the dragon? Yeah. No, don't do that.
Yeah, she just torches the city.
That switch done flipped on Daenerys Targaryen.
Well, that was such a tense moment, too. Just even waiting for the bells to ring. It's like Tyrion's hoping that Jaime made it there and got her to do that. And because that was his marching orders, is that's fine. Go to her, but get her to ring the bells. Otherwise,
yeah, start
millions
your
of
new
people
life.
Will die. Yeah.
Get her to ring the bells. Take her to the dock. Yep. I got a dinghy there for you.
Yep. Go somewhere nice.
Go start a new life. Yeah. You crazy lovebirds.
And so there's
brother, sister.
There's that moment of tension where everyone is sitting there waiting for that signal of the bells to ring. And, you know, you can hear people shouting it. Like, I think the people of the Red Keep are shouting to Cersei and the powers that be, ring the bells, ring the bells, all over the city. You know, there's residents calling for that, you know.
Yeah.
And then they do, you're right. And you could see Tyrion watching her, and you can see Jon watching. You can see everyone watching Dany to see what she's going to do. And then she just
Mad
scorches
Queen.
The earth. Yeah.
Do we like that they've kind of made her into the mad, not the Mad Queen, but she's kind of the bad guy?
I mean, I can see that was coming.
I like the flip that they did, the writers, that made me feel compassion for Cersei on her end.
Yeah.
When her end came.
Yeah.
And kind of contempt and not hatred, but like, oh, you bitch, towards Daenerys.
Yeah, definitely.
I thought that was interesting. I didn't expect that. So good on them for that.
I also liked kind of that look that comes over Jon, like, I picked the wrong horse, you know, like,
fuck.
I know, like, I made the wrong choice.
Yeah.
And I backed the wrong person here, you know.
It's interesting to see Grey Worm. He's essentially the one that initiated that.
Yes.
That battle by chucking that spear.
Yeah, and he's angry from
Missandei.
You know, beheading. Yep.
So you got to wonder if he would have done that if Missandei hadn't died. You know, that obviously hit him hard. That was his lady.
I think he would have followed Dany's lead because he is loyal to her.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe. Maybe.
I think he would have done what followed and did what she did. And it's unfortunate because those soldiers were there.
They dropped their swords.
They were ready. I mean, you could see it on their faces, like, we don't really want to do this. We don't really want to do this, you know. Like,
yeah,
I don't want to die today.
But we're fucked.
Yeah.
It's either die or surrender.
Yeah. And so they lay down their swords and then he just struck anyway.
Yeah.
And just became a killing machine there.
Can we, I would like to, when it's all said and done, maybe rewatch this show.
Yeah.
Because I'm wondering now if Dany, you know, her whole breaker of chains, freeing the slaves, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if that was all like compassion and this is the right thing to do is to free these people. Or was it, and you could make the argument it was both, was it to, I'm building my army. I'm doing this for me. Was it selfish reasons or was it more philanthropic?
I think it was the latter. And the reason why I say that is because when she was it Marine where she was at before John came and got her? Was she
the Masters
Marine?
Rebelled?
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, like there's a episode where she's like taking townspeople's complaints. Like people can come to her and talk to her about stuff. And she just seems so annoyed by that. And like, you know, she just didn't seem to care about people. And
she think it's,
I think it's self-serving. And I think that was even more evident in this season because, you know, Sansa said like, well, what about the North? They're your people too. Like, do you forget that you're representing all of these people now, not just, you know, not just people that you've rescued and freed and that they're yours. You represent all of these people now and they are yours as well. And she didn't seem to kind of care or get that. The only thing she cared about was how they revered her, how they viewed her, you know. And then even more so, like, you can go and you can fight at King's Landing. And you could probably win, but then you slaughtered thousands of innocent people, which, I mean, they rang the bells. They surrendered. The city was done.
Yeah.
The queen was done. Like, you could just step right into that throne room and sit there and rule these people. But she chose to kill them. So I don't think she cares about people and having compassion at all.
But then you kind of I go back to her moments with Jon Snow where she. But even then, she was still kind of like real pushy about, you know, don't say anything. I'm the queen. You know, don't say anything.
Yeah, I think her wheels were already turning to manipulate Jon because she needed that force of strength as well. And I think that she kind of played him. I don't know that she ever really cared that much about him. I don't know. Because, well, maybe. I don't know. Maybe. Because this time, you know, she came and tried to make out with him and he denied her again. You know, like, I love you. You're the queen. But we're not going to do that anymore.
Yeah.
And that was interesting because then she just kind of flipped it real cool, you know, like fear it is then or something like that.
Yeah.
So.
So the dragon fire.
Yeah.
I don't remember the dragons breathing fire and it being that combustive, that.
Explosive.
I mean, when the dragon's flame hit those ships, they exploded.
Yeah.
It's not like they caught on fire. It was like.
Boom.
Fucking napalm.
Okay, but maybe those ships have gunpowder barrels and.
But like, no, watch it again, because literally as the flame hits the ship.
Yeah, it just blows apart.
I mean, even then, it's got to get down into the hold.
Yeah. Doesn't it blast out like almost like a fire hose, like a fire engine hose or something like that? Like,
I don't know. Maybe getting into the weeds a little bit here, but it just seems like those dragons apparently can dial in.
Yeah.
Different levels, because when they roasted Varys, that's just like lighting the marshmallow.
Yeah, like a bonfire. Yeah, because Tyrion was standing near it. I mean, you could see the flames reflecting off of his face, but he was standing close enough to it, like it was a bonfire or something.
So with the power of that fire, when they were torching the scorpion crossbows, and I mean, what jumps out is when the dragon lit up the front gate and it just exploded.
Yeah.
It,
and the castle parts, too. I mean.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah. Like, big, huge fucking stone walls are being just knocked over like, you know, like,
I guess
Connect Four switch.
I guess they must be able to just, like, you know, really turn it on like a fire hose
with
a lot of force and pressure.
And don't they have to stop and maybe get a drink of water or something? I mean, that dragon, the whole episode, the dragon was lighting it up.
I mean, that's what they do. I don't know much about dragons. I don't really
I know.
Have one, but that's kind of what they do.
You don't have a fucking dragon, Johnny?
Well, my 7-year-old and my 4-year-old are dragons. Yes.
So true. But the, I didn't want to get off too crazy on that, but it was, that's the first time I noticed that. And it just, I mean, obviously I've seen him light shit on fire, but sure. never to the point of like, because if they lit up Varys like they did the stone walls, the crossbows, whatever, like he just would have been disintegrated like that.
Yeah.
If not blown into 1,000 pieces.
Yeah.
Charred pieces.
Well, and he must have just done like a little gentle fire belch then or something. I don't know.
But they used them flames to light up that place. Can I say that whole flaming up King's Landing was a little bit too long?
Yeah.
It seemed repetitive, especially the Arya stuff. Yeah. I think we saw about 3 instances of Arya dodging flames, ducking behind some wall.
Yeah.
You know, and so her and the mom and the kids.
Sure. That was a logic flub for me because I'm like, how is she surviving this? She's running with the mom and the girl who you see them charred bodies holding each other later. And like the walls around you are exploding and crumbling. But how are you not getting torched at all? Like she's a little bit dirty, but. I mean, is it because she's wearing all leather? I don't know. I was like, this just doesn't make sense to me. You would think she would be burnt.
Yeah, something.
And
singe.
Yeah, I mean.
You know, it's a thing I just read about called like plot avoidance. Uh-huh. Like some of the main characters, and this is not Game of Thrones, this is just in general.
Sure.
Some shows, the main characters suffer from plot avoidance. You know, like logic doesn't apply because it's the main character. And,
uh-huh. Well, also, the other thing with Arya this time, this is the first time I saw her really be afraid.
Yeah.
You know, really. I mean, we saw her get scared as she's running through Winterfell when the walkers are there. Yeah. And she's kind of hiding in the bookshelves and things like that. But she was still brave enough to go for it. And, you know, she was riding to King's Landing with the Hound to go kill the queen.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that it was kind of out of character that he talked her out of that.
That the Hound talked her out of it?
Yeah. I mean, I guess that could be due to the relationship that they do have and the mutual trust and respect as people. But it was just a little bit out of character for her because she's not afraid. And he talked her out of going in there to kill the queen, you know?
I think maybe she saw the writing on the wall there, and he's never really put himself out there like that with her.
Yeah.
It's always been like, essentially, to paraphrase the Hound, every conversation between the Hound and Arya, it's like, I don't give a fuck, you do what you want.
Sure.
You know, I'm not your daddy.
Yeah.
But this time he's like, don't go up there.
Yeah.
You have a life. Yeah. I don't. I'm going to die.
Yeah.
And if you go with me, you're going to die.
Yeah.
You still have a life.
Interesting.
And I think for her to hear that from him is like, oh, impactful.
Yeah. Like when you yell at our child instead of me all day long.
Yeah, kind of like that. But changed the mind of Arya. And meanwhile, everything's just falling apart around her and people scream and die. And so, you know, that plus the Hound kind of out of character in a way.
Sure.
Led her to be like, you know what? Good luck, buddy.
Yeah.
Good luck against that mountain feller. Speaking of Arya.
Yeah.
It was a little too on the nose. When she got up, everything had settled. She got up. She's all dusty, maybe a little scarred. And there's this white horse.
Yes. Is that her horse? I was going to ask.
No.
Was it hers? It's just some random horse?
Oh, good question. I don't know.
Okay.
That's a good question.
Because they rode in on a horse, and I meant to go back and watch and see if hers was white, and I didn't, but...
Let me Google. I'm going to see if I can find Arya's...
That bothered me, too. I'm like, really? How convenient. There's a perfectly good horse with some riding gear still not singed on it.
Yeah.
And you get to ride it away. Yeah, it was a little too perfect there for me.
Yeah, I mean, look, if we go back and watch it, and... It's the horse she rode in on. Okay.
The horse you rode in on.
Yeah, what's that saying? Fuck you and the horse you rode in on. You can say fuck you.
I know, but I just use that word effectively when it needs to be said.
So I've heard a couple things. I took that white horse, and this is just going by like, let's just say that's not, for argument's sake, that's not the horse she rode in on.
Okay.
I took that as a very on the nose,
yeah,
almost kind of, ugh, kind of cringeworthy, like, the white stallion. You're going to be the hero. Yeah. She's the hero.
Yeah.
And I said this on the radio show today, how like it just seems like sloppy writing.
Sure.
Where to me, she should have gotten up, you know, stumbled around, ventured this way, walked past this alley and saw a couple horses tied up, you know, and it's like, oh, I got to go. Gets on the horse. It happens to be a white one. She rides off. That's a little more subtle.
Sure.
This one's like the bloodied white horse standing in front of her, looking at her, connecting. You know, it's like,
yeah, I didn't like that either. It was a little too like, everything's going to work out perfectly here.
Yeah.
For Arya moment.
I can't find any pictures of her and the Hound riding on those horses.
Sure.
So who knows? Maybe by the time we publish this, it'll be. You know, we'll know.
We could go back and watch the scene again. But
maybe.
Speaking of the Hound, let's talk about
Real quick.
Yeah.
Arya, also on the horse.
Yeah.
They say that that's an omen of death. Like on a pale horse.
Oh.
Like the white horse is, she's going to be.
Yeah.
The death.
Death. Hmm.
And maybe she'll kill our Dany. Sorry, you were saying?
Oh, the epic battle between the Hound and the Mountain.
Right. It was all right. It wasn't nearly as satisfying as I wanted it to be.
Yeah.
I don't know why. And I get that, I get their names. Gregor is the Mountain.
Yes.
Sindane? Well, anyway, the Hound.
The Hound, yeah.
He was going up the stairs at the Mountain. Like, that seems tactically stupid to me.
Right. He has the upper ground.
Yeah. The Mountain is, he's already about a foot taller than the Hound. And he's, you know.
Yeah.
High ground has the advantage.
How great was it when he smacked Cersei's dude? What's his name?
Oh, Qyburn?
Yes.
his Meister.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, he just kind of like swats him away, but in a violent way, you know. He just kind of, I'm done with you. Get out of here, you know.
Yeah, totally.
And she just kind of excuses herself like, I'm just going to go this way here. I'm going to get out of here now.
Oh, yeah.
That was so funny.
The memes are out there already.
Oh, yeah, for that.
Yeah. One is of like a gif of an owl. And it was doing like the kind of tipsy-toesy quietly. Yeah, no, she so had the look of, you guys, okay, this doesn't involve me. I'm just going to, oops, sorry, excuse me. This is me. You got your sword. Yeah. I'm just going to leave. Yeah. I'll show myself out.
Yeah.
But that battle was not as satisfying as I thought it would be.
So do you think it wasn't a satisfying battle, but I was left with some questions, like, during it, I'm like, can he even kill him? And as it went on, I was like,
no,
I don't think he can. And then
Sandor Clegane.
Okay.
That's his name.
Yeah, because she said his name.
Yeah.
And he kind of turned back. And I was like, wait, what? That's his name?
No, Sandor's the Hound's name.
Yes, Arya said.
Oh, Arya.
Sandor. And I was like, wait, he has a name? That's his name.
Okay, I thought you were talking about Cersei and the Mountain.
No. But so then do you think they're dead? They fell in, you know, quite a big fall into some fiery rubble.
I think they're dead. Really? I think the Hound is definitely dead.
Yeah.
Maybe the Mountain is not, but I think he probably is.
Yeah.
That fall probably would have incapacitated him at least walking, and therefore the flames would burn him / incinerate.
I don't know. Didn't he stab him in the eye through the brain?
I know.
Like, that would do it right there. You would lose motor function.
Qyburn had some magical crap to
reanimate
that son of a bitch.
I guess. So that's why I was wondering, like, is he even dead from that fall?
I think so. That being said, if in the final episode we see a pseudo-skeletal / zombie-looking charred creature pop up.
Yeah.
It's either Jason Voorhees or the Mountain.
Sir Gregor.
But yeah, I think they're both dead.
Okay.
And I thought the when he was squishing the Hound's eyes, you're like, no, not the Viper again.
Yeah.
but I liked how the Hound was kind of like laughing, and it was just like, it's almost like he was enjoying it. It's almost like there was like a, almost like a brotherly playfulness going on between them. Maybe I read too much into that. I don't know.
I think it was just like, really, this is the best you've got. Like, we've been fighting, you know, and this is how I'm going to go out. This is how I end, huh? Okay.
I was actually a little surprised that the mountain remembered him.
I know.
And it was shocking, just almost not only remembered him, but apparently remembered some stuff.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, he threw Qyburn, like grabbed him and threw him like, fuck off. I'm going to settle this shit with my brother.
Yeah. Well, and Cersei even commanded him, stay by my side, Sir Gregor. And he was like, I'm not hearing that.
Right. So he was not 100%, you know, zombie, whatever.
Sure.
So he probably died in that fall. But so the show, what is it? How does it end?
Hang on. I got other things. Yeah. Did you notice that, I missed the terminology for the green stuff that exploded.
Right.
But did you notice that when the dragon was firing, there was little explosions of green stuff all over the city?
Yeah, what the hell is that shit called?
I don't remember. Blackwater? Battle of Blackwater?
Yeah,
essentially
the napalm.
Yeah.
The green napalm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I noticed that too. I just wrote that off as some storage things were were bad.
All over the city.
Also, speaking of that stuff.
Yeah.
You know, that's what Cersei used to blow up the, the church.
Yeah.
So she has no qualms about doing that.
Yeah.
But she can't use it against the army that's literally outside her gates.
Right.
You know, why wouldn't you just light them up?
Yeah. Or why wouldn't you just do that at Winterfell before they even got there?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. So Cersei, you know, eventually she meets up with Jaime.
Yeah.
And they go down into they're trying to get to the boat, but it's blocked off because, you know, half the buildings collapsed rubble's blocking the way.
First, before Jaime gets to her, Euron and Jaime fight. That was a pretty good fight, I thought. And it was cringeworthy for me because of all the twisting. I was like, oh my God. Like, the sounds. Good job, sound people, on that one.
I know, right? That's probably the first time I've heard.
Yeah.
There's been plenty of movies where somebody stabs somebody, then they twist the knife.
Yeah.
But never did it feel real.
Yeah.
It did with when Jaime stuck Euron.
And that was one of those moments where I'm watching and like, oh my God, that makes my gut hurt because you're just imagining.
I know.
That happening.
And he didn't just do it once. He did it twice.
Yes.
But how did Jaime not die? He got stuck with that 12-inch blade at least twice.
You know, he probably hit a lung and punctured a lung. You know, you might not die from that. If you don't hit any major organs or arteries or anything like that, you have some time there. It's difficult. Your lung just collapsed, but
Euron Greyjoy's an interesting cat. Even after he's lying there dying and Jaime's walking away, he's like, I'm the man who killed Jaime Lannister.
Yeah.
It's like nobody saw that. It's just you.
Yeah.
But even still, he's reveling in it.
Like, yeah, he just got pure satisfaction from that fact.
He's like, I'm so cool.
Yeah. He also felt the need to rub it in Jaime's face that he had slept with Cersei.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if that was just egging Jaime on or, like, he's just that type of guy. Like, if I'm going to go out, I'm going to go out with a bang. Like, I did this, and now I killed Jaime Lannister.
I fucked your sister, and I killed you.
Yeah, that was interesting.
So Jaime goes and gets Cersei.
Yes.
They go down into the basement. It's blocked off. There's no escape.
Okay, that bothered me too. There was some logic stuff there for me too.
Why? Like
the first view, that space that they were to go through, the rubble was like small bricks and pebbles. Like, it wasn't like great big giant boulders blocking that passage. I felt like they could have started digging and dug their way out.
I thought that too.
Yeah.
On the wide shot.
Yeah.
Then when they got a closer shot of Jaime up close to it.
Yeah.
There were some sections of wall there. It wasn't just loose bricks. I know what you're saying.
But I think that was a different tunnel because they checked a couple different ones. Hmm. the first one that they went to, that wide shot, it just looked like small pebbles and half bricks, you know? It was like, you could get out of there. That bothered me.
Yeah. What didn't bother me is, and I know a lot of people don't feel this way.
Yeah.
Because they want to see Cersei die.
Yeah.
Like something good and juicy.
Like somebody gets some vengeance.
I like that she died blubbering and crying and begging and pleading. And not to like the person who's about to kill her, but to Jaime. And I thought that was an interesting moment because all these seasons, about 95% of the time, we've hated Cersei Lannister.
Sure.
She's just a uber bitch.
Yeah.
But I like that. And it's a good character beat because it's only in Jaime's arms with him that you'll see her do that probably.
Yeah. Sure.
You know, she's vulnerable with Jaime.
I don't know. I had a moment too where I felt sorry for her when it was the end and she was fleeing the castle. You know, she just kind of stood there like, I can't believe this is my end, you know, and she was kind of crying about having to leave that as well and what was happening to her city. And
that was a good example of acting.
Yeah.
On her part, because the evolution of her face from the start of that episode to right before she leaves the Red Keep.
Yes.
You know, she starts off with like, we're going to fuck this up. Right. Fuck you, dragon lady.
Yeah. Like you said last week, like she has perfected resting bitch face.
Totally. And she put it on there to the start, but slowly as the episode went on that got a little bit more serene, a little more flaccid look on her face.
Yeah.
To the point where, like you said, right before she's got tears running down her face.
Well, and she even, the dialogue gets desperate. She's like, well, the ships will slay the dragon. They're on fire. Well, the men will fight harder. You know, like she's just grasping at every straw to hang on to this life. And so you do feel bad.
So, No, it was an interesting turn on that character.
Yeah.
Like, I enjoyed hating Cersei, but for that moment, and maybe a lot of it had to do with Jaime, you know, when they were holding and then the rubble fell on him. It was kind of a nice moment.
Sure.
And it's kind of how it should be. You know, they're twins. I think people forget that.
Yeah.
So they're born in the world together, so they leave the world together.
Yeah.
As sick and twisted as that relationship was,
it's
probably what they both wanted.
Totally.
And I respect that.
Well, and then that brings up another question for me. Did they die? They might not have.
They died.
Are you sure?
You know, look, I said the same thing about Stannis Baratheon.
Yeah.
Because we never saw him actually get punctured or cut.
Sure.
Slayed. Remember Brienne came upon him as he was laying there kind of wounded and possibly dying.
Yeah.
And I think that scene ended with her reeling back the sword.
Uh-huh.
We never saw him get cut. So for a while, I was like, oh, Stannis Baratheon might still be out there, but he gone.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Gross.
He's gone.
So they are gone, huh?
I mean, they were standing there and you literally saw that rubble come down.
Hmm.
And it was, you saw it coming. Like that whole bottom area was collapsing.
Yeah.
Like dominoes.
Sure.
And the last domino fell on them. I'm pretty sure they're dead.
Question.
Answers.
If she destroyed that whole castle, didn't she destroy the Iron Throne?
I was wondering that just now, too.
Yeah. Like, why wouldn't you not destroy the throne that you... Well, and why destroy the castle at all?
Maybe she...
Don't you want to rule there?
You're kind of... So the debate is whether or not she just went fucking nuts.
Well, I would say yes. I don't think there's any debate there.
So if she went, you know... Yeah. She went a la Daddy, the Mad King.
Yeah.
She probably wouldn't care.
Sure.
And I would think if you're in a position where you know you're going to be the queen or king, and, you know, if my goal is to kill everybody and everything and wipe it all out, I'm not concerned about the throne. Mm-hmm. I can make a new throne.
Sure.
When I'm king, I'll get a blacksmith. Make me a throne out of swords, buddy.
Sure.
This is the new one. This is version 2.0.
Yeah.
So I don't think she worried about that. That being said, from a creative standpoint, I could see the next episode starting with somebody brushing off and digging out the Iron Throne, literally. Yeah. I don't know if that's going to happen, but maybe that'll be the last shot of the series is a slow pullout. And there's that Iron Throne covered in rubble and it's all half melted from fire. And just like, this is what you fought for. So anything else? It ended with King's Landing just getting destroyed, rocked.
Yeah.
And the teaser shot for next week was Dany standing in on some elevated perch. I'm assuming it's somewhere in King's Landing. And there's a bunch of Unsullied and others down there kind of in formation. Now the question is, who's going to kill Daenerys or who's going to try?
I think they're all going to try.
You think Sansa's involved in this?
Oh, yeah. I think she'll try to do
She's going to go to Tyrion and go like, I told you, motherfucker.
She's definitely going to say that to Jon. That was my next question is, do you think Jon made it out? You know, the last we saw it was retreat. We've got to get out of the city. And it's all coming down.
I think like, so.
Do you think? And she feels betrayed by Jon. So is she going to let him live?
I don't trust her to let anybody live.
I don't trust her to let Grey anybody
Worm?
Live either.
Grey Worm's probably okay.
Right.
And the Unsullied.
Yeah.
Tyrion, I would be watching out.
Yeah.
If I was Tyrion.
Yeah.
I don't think she'll kill Tyrion. I don't think she's stupid. She might be crazy, but she's not stupid.
Well, I don't put it past her. I mean, I think she wants to be the ruler and she doesn't want anyone to tell her that she can't. So
we shall see next week.
Mm-hmm.
The series finale of Game of Thrones.
Can we do Who the Heck Is That Guy or Gal? Do you have
an extra? You know, I don't. I do, but I don't.
Okay.
I don't know if he's an extra.
Yeah.
But I kind of feel bad for the leader of the Golden Army.
Yeah.
Like he had maybe two lines two episodes ago.
Okay.
Or episode one this season.
Was he the guy crawling on the ground?
Yeah. I mean, he was on the horse and he walked out from the side on the horse. That white horse might have been his horse. Anyway, and he doesn't have a helmet on. He's got kind of like that Cro-Magnon looking face, you know? And eventually he's like running away from the oncoming Targaryen, Daenerys Targaryen forces, Jon Snow, et cetera.
Okay.
And then somebody like throws a spear in him.
Okay.
So he's kind of my extra guy.
Gotcha.
I don't know if he's an extra. He had a line.
Sure.
How about you?
I'm going to go with the kind of, I think he was kind of a general looking guy at the surrender where they kind of had that look on their face like, we don't want any trouble. We don't
the main King's Landing guy?
Yeah. Yeah. And then eventually they, you know, clunks his sword to the ground first and then they all do. But it's got to go to that guy because his face is so perfect there. He did such a good job with that. Like,
isn't he the one that Grey Worm stuck with the spear?
Yeah.
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 Did you know Aaron Rodgers was in this
episode? No, and where?
He was one of the...
Where?
So he was one of the archers who were lining up.
Okay.
Getting ready to do some archery.
Okay.
He was like the third guy in from the camera.
Okay.
And then also he had a shot where he was kind of running away from fire.
Okay.
So there's your celebrity cameo.
What's with all these cameos?
It's like Game of Thrones cameo is the new hot Hollywood nightclub / restaurant.
Yeah, like, Everybody needs to be in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Come on.
So next week, the series finale. Should we move on to Barry real quick?
Sure, sure.
All right, Barry.
Yeah.
This is also a penultimate episode, which means the second to last episode.
Oh, look at you using big words.
.com. The interesting turn of events. I wasn't quite sure what Fuchs was going for.
Yeah.
When he showed up with Gene Cousineau saying he's a private investigator.
I thought he was going to play mind games with Barry to get Barry to do what he wanted.
Yeah, I thought he was going to say, like, I found the car and the body. You need to get on board with what we're doing here, or I'm going to tell Cousineau.
Well, and Barry tried to tell him that, like, I'll go to Ohio. I'll kill whoever you want me to kill. I don't care. Just don't do this, you know.
So is the theory, and, you know, they left it cliffhanger.
Yeah.
Is the theory that Fuchs, because he pulled the gun out and put it to Cousineau's head.
Yeah.
Is he going to, he did the 911 call as Cousineau.
Right.
So the thinking is he's going to kill Kusuno to make it look like a suicide?
Yes. Like he killed his girlfriend and right. Now he killed himself. That's yeah. kind of what he set the stage for. And Barry is frantically trying to make his way to intercept that.
Yeah. So, okay. Yeah. Backing up a little bit.
Yeah, back up.
Yeah, we jumped right to the end.
We did, yeah.
Well, I'm just trying to... Sally... I loved her little monologue at the poolside.
You did? Her I thought going that was, all nutso?
Well, it wasn't even like nutso. I get the thinking that, you know, her feeling is she's been toiling at this Hollywood acting shit yeah. for who knows how many years.
Yeah.
Taking a class. And this dumb fuck Barry, who yeah. sucks.
Yeah.
Comes in and is like, yeah, I got an audition for a major motion picture.
With a director.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's a known director.
Yeah.
Jay Roach. I actually interviewed him. But, yeah, so I could see where she'd be jealous, slightly resentful, you know.
If... Yeah, it just kind of comes out like word vomit. It's like a whole bunch of stuff, you know,
yeah.
like, and it's kind of a statement like, let's back up a little bit more. She had a meeting with the Aaron Ryan, you know, some like hot Hollywood producer who wants to take her story and turn it into this horrible
thing,
you know.
Can you imagine?
Oh, no. And... So, you know, she kind of throws some of that in there, too. Like, I'm not going to let them change all of this and who I am and this story and what this is about, you know. And so it was just kind of a, I'm just going to spill everything here in a whole bunch of fast sentences and phrases and let me just have my freak out, you know.
I commend that character for saying no to that. I thought she yeah, would say yes.
I know, right? She seems a little...
Desperate.
Weak and vulnerable and yeah. And
she's chomping for that
yeah.
big breakout.
Yeah.
And yeah. that could have been it. But
yeah.
good for her for saying no.
Yep.
What was it called? Playing?
I don't even know.
That shitty fake show?
Yeah, I don't even know.
It was horrible.
It was. The graphic was hilarious. And I can't remember the tagline at the bottom, but that was hilarious too.
Yeah. So, you know, she had her big monologue. I thought that was great.
Yeah.
I enjoyed, what's his name? It's NoHo Hank.
Yeah.
On the bus.
I know. Me too. That was a good moment too.
So I didn't really, you know, we watched the little interview after the episode with Bill Hader and Alec Berg, the creators, producers.
Right.
And they said when he was on the bus, spilling his guts, that's when they kind of lost respect and don't care about him anymore.
Yeah, well, he wasn't their leader in that moment. They're all about to die.
Yeah.
They're handcuffed in this bus, which is being doused in gasoline, and they're all about to die. And he's just like, guys, I'm so sorry. I let you down. Like, he's not their fearless leader. Like, I'm going to get you out of this. You
yeah.
know, I got your back. And the guy that Barry... trained, who showed potential as, you know, a good marksman and good
think on his feet.
Yeah. You know, he's the one that did
got him all out of there.
Yeah, and saved him. And so then they're all like kind of walking away and he's like, Hey guys, you know, like
yeah.
So now he gets to just be part of the gang
yeah.
and not the leader, I think.
But the way they were talking about it, Bill Hader,
yeah.
Alec Berg, it was almost they were trying to paint it as because of shit he was saying, they were losing respect and or losing him in the process.
Yeah.
But it makes more sense that he was not like, all right, guys, let's think.
Yeah.
What can we do here? We got to get out of here. They're going to burn us.
Yeah.
Sergey, you do this, you know.
Yep.
That makes more sense to me. But they got out of there and I love how they killed the accordion guy.
Yeah.
That was so funny.
Yeah. That was a good scene.
Does that guy ever not go anywhere without his accordion? Does he? He's always got the accordion, right?
I think so.
Like he's at the Spago restaurant ordering his fettuccine Alfredo. And he's like,
yeah.
So then it ends, like we said, with.
Yeah. So is he going to pull the trigger or not? What do you think?
So I forget. Was he on the phone with Barry while he was doing that?
He had already called 911.
Oh, yeah. Barry was hauling ass.
Was hauling ass. And he'd already called 911 from Kusuno's phone. and he showed him the, he opened the trunk and showed him the body, and he was standing there, and you could just see his face, like, he's just kind of in shock and frozen there.
I think what's going to happen is there's going to be something kind of unexpected, maybe like a bear makes a roar in the distance, and it gets everybody's attention, because Henry Winkler's character, Kusno, is kind of almost trance-like, looking at Janice's body.
Yeah, he's like despondent.
And I think there's going to be something that snaps him out of that, distracts everybody.
Yeah.
And Kusno's going to see the guy with the gun and be like, oh, shit. And it's just enough to at least delay things. Like, maybe enough time for Barry to show up and save the day.
Either way, how is Barry going to explain that to Kusno?
I don't know.
You know, like, let's say, well, I mean, if he's dead, he's dead. But that's then a lot of dead people surrounding that acting class. Like, don't you think suspicions would be raised at that point in time?
Probably.
You know, and if he doesn't, and Kusino knows about Fuchs and Barry and that dynamic, how are they going to explain that away? You know?
I don't know if you can.
Yeah, I don't know if you can either.
I think even if Kusno survives, A, he's seen the dead body.
Yeah.
That doesn't necessarily pin it on Barry.
Is Barry going to have to kill him?
He might.
Like a loose end, like his buddy?
He might have to.
Oh.
I think, though, if... I think the way it might work out is somehow they pin it on Fuchs.
Hmm.
Whether Fuchs dies or not, I think there could be some way to pin it on Fuchs. It could even go back to when Loesch,
the detective.
The detective was, you know, had Fuchs kind of, you know,
on the
was
hook.
It was his undercover, you know, his
sure.
wire.
Yeah.
You know, you can make trace it back to Loesch and Fuchs, and, you know, Janice is there dead in the trunk. I could see where that would be. There's some explaining and possible evidence to tie Fuchs to Janice's murder and possibly Loesch.
Maybe so. That's a far stretch to sell to Kusino. And even if he learns the truth, not the truth, because obviously Barry killed his girlfriend, but if he tells him a story, I think it's going to be hard for him to play along. You know, he's pretty broken up about Janice being killed still. I mean, you see him eating alone at the restaurant and he orders a glass of wine for her, and then he tells the waiter to take it away
because
he doesn't want to look at it, you know. And so he's still feeling that loss and still grieving. And I think if Barry asks him to go along with a story, I think that's going to be a difficult thing for him to do.
I don't think he's going to have to, though.
Oh, really?
I think Kusno's going to be his own, because he's like a theatrical, creative, imaginative mind. I think he can see the pieces in front of him and deduce, shit, this is the guy who killed my girlfriend.
Oh.
He brought me out here. He showed me where this car was.
Sure. How is that connected to Barry, though? Like, how are
it's
they going to explain that?
Not necessarily. It doesn't have to be.
So Barry's just going to come along happenstance to his rescue? Because Barry's on his way there. You know?
I think Barry could probably play that off as, I'm so excited I got the part. I needed to come tell you. Or
why doesn't Barry just stand like 50 yards out and take a sniper shot at Fuchs and take him out?
I don't know. He's still hauling ass to get there. We don't know how far or how close he is. But I could see where, you know, especially if Fuchs is dead, the story to be spun is that Fuchs killed Janice, and Barry can just play stupid, like, oh my God, that's a dead body.
Yeah.
You know, what happened?
Yeah.
You know?
Gotcha.
And maybe even kind of push Kusino into that thinking.
Gotcha.
Like, wait, this guy, that's the private detective guy. He brought you out here. Do you think he killed Janice?
Yeah,
you know?
He could kind of spin it that way.
I could see that.
Do you think Sally and Barry will stay together? Do you think the launch of their careers will drive them apart.
I don't think so. I think if part of me thinks if he gets, let's say he gets that movie role, yeah, and it seems like he is.
Yeah.
Like Jay Roach, the director's like,
yeah. Huh.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting choice. Like, yeah, he wasn't like, get out of here, you, yeah, suck.
Like, he was intrigued by it.
And the casting lady or whatever's like, he's tall.
Yeah.
So I could, he'll probably get that part.
Yeah.
Probably be somewhat successful. So I think either Sally gets really resentful and maybe ends it, or she gloms on to him, try and ride those coattails.
I think
for her own career.
Well, I think that that agent of hers is going to help launch her own thing. I think they are going to be like, yeah, we're women and we didn't give in to the men producers. And look, come see our hit musical play on Broadway. You know, I think that's going to be kind of what happens there, maybe.
I know. Season finale next week, right after the season finale Game of Thrones.
Oh my gosh, all these shows are ending.
Just like this podcast is ending. Segue.
Well, tell me, what's coming up? Like, are my favorite other favorite shows coming back? Like, when is Westworld on? Yeah. Summer?
I want to say late summer, fall.
Okay, well, that's around
typically
the corner.
Typically. Yeah.
Is there nothing on from, like, May to August?
No, there'll be something. I would like to talk about Dead to Me a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. There'll be plenty of stuff to talk about.
All right.
For show.
Well, we watch TV, that's for sure. We're stuck at home with children.
Yeah. So. As a matter of fact, let's wrap this up and go watch something else.
Got it.
Maybe Veep. Series finale of Veep.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Interesting.
All right, that's going to do it for us. It's the Married with Channels podcast, the husband and wife that talk the TV shows. I'm Moose.
I'm Jody.
I'm Moose.
I'm Jody.
We'll see you next time.
Bye.